Hey, the button was pressed, and I see squiggles. Yay!
Squiggle, squiggle!
Squiggle, right, squiggle.
Mind doing a 3-2-1 clap, just so I can get it synced up?
So once on the reminder, is it 3-2-1 clap on the 1, or 3-2-1 clap on the implied 0?
Clap on the implied 0.
Thank you!
All right. 3-2-1 clap! There we go.
Spiky.
Clappity clap clap clap!
Super squiggle.
So spiky. Oh, I need a cup.
Oh.
Cup, 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 cup.
Hey, I thought we were done testing on the... Cock, cock, cock.
Cock, cock, cock. Cock, 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 cock.
Not a lot of gunfire in this movie.
You know what? They make up for it with, like, two scenes in particular where I'm just like, Jesus Christ!
I think I might know those scenes. So
I thought this was PG-13!
I had to ask. Ryan's like, what is this rated? I'm like, gotta be R. It's PG-13.
Yeah.
How did they get away with that?
I don't, well, we'll talk about it.
Yay!
Fun facts! Okay.
Sorry, I'm sending you some Redbubble shops of some other awesome artists if you decide you need a...
additional mask.
Additional.
I see. Thank you much.
Has Anai put the face-off ones up yet?
Yeah, I know, right? I keep, like, heading back and forth.
I have not seen them.
I still keep seeing the adorable horoscope images.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, the Zodiac stuff.
Her Zodiacs, they're so great! Zodiac cats!
I suppose Zodiac is better. I say horoscopes.
Yes.
Same thing.
Exactly the same thing.
Literally the same thing.
Yep. Oh, what does it... here is Holly.
Holly's got some great stuff. She, Holly is a great illustrator who also super enjoys death, tea, like dark things, and super cute snuggly things.
Aww.
And she loves rhinos, so there's a bunch of rhino stuff too.
Aww. Okay, Diana, the link will be here when we're done recording.
Those baby plague doctors, though.
I mean, I'm already looking at it. One with a takeout container. Oh.
Yeah. Go ahead and get started. I'm just looking to see if Hanai's got face-off masks. I don't think she has, because I feel like I would be the first person she'd message. But...
yeah. Well, only if she wants to sell them. It's one of those things where you have like, oh, I have 8 people willing to buy right now of the 8 people that know this thing exists.
Right? And that's... yeah, I just see Zodiac cats and food puns.
Okay, really, really quick, because I want to bring it up. I went on to Frankie and Murr's affiliate thing, and it's like, this program is no longer available. I'm like, uh-oh. So I should tell you that. Yeah. So just
they didn't tell me that, and I literally messaged them like a week ago.
Have you heard from them?
No, they moved to Ohio. Like, they moved to Ohio like a week before everything shut down.
Damn. Okay, that explains a lot. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they the lease on their store was up March 1st. Yeah.
Damn.
And they bought like a shop front in Ohio for $50,000 paid for.
Nice.
Like, they literally put it on a credit card.
Oh, shit.
Well, no, like, in a good way. Like they didn't have to take out any loans.
No. I'm but, just imagining, yeah. Like, I have nowhere near $50,000, like, on a credit card. So it's like, damn, shit, how could, that's possible?
Yeah. Oh, because it's a business thing. You can get extended.
But I wanted to mention that to you, because I went there, our code doesn't work anymore. And I'm like, I just want to double check
with
you.
Maybe that's why they haven't been giving us our motherfucking money.
Yeah, I will contact them and be like, yo, so are you doing your affiliate thing? If not, why didn't you fucking tell me? I used to work for you.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping like you would hear something because I emailed them.
Yeah, I mean, they were when I saw them all in February, they were going to try and keep them on part-time remotely, but they weren't sure how it was going to work.
Right, right. Okay.
And then, you know, pandemic... yeah, like I said, I texted him like a week ago just to be like, hey, how's everybody like holding up?
Yep.
I know like Ohio's been, you know, burning itself to the ground between everything. And they're like, well, we're good. Like, we're surviving.
Good. Good.
So use that promo code Venus and help us, I guess, pay off a computer. I don't know.
Can you clarify that, Steve? Does that rhyme with penis?
It does.
Ah, but it's not spelled that
you
way.
See, it's Venus is the goddess that rhymes with penis.
By the way, perfect. I want to talk to you because I want to work on my affiliate program. Speaking of penis.
Woo!
No, speaking of affiliate programs, I do still have my promo code HEMCAST up in my Etsy shop.
Yes.
So I need to double check if it's 10 or 15%. But I know we talked about it a long time ago and I made it and I mentioned it on... a podcast, but I will double check that as soon as we're done here. And yeah, you guys can promote that, and if I get any click-throughs on it, I'll pay you.
Aww! Will you pay me in hanging out more?
Yeah.
Sure. You
nice. Know what?
I'm done with that currency.
Honestly, if you... So once a week, we watch wrestling with another podcast. Just not on a podcast, just for fun. We hang out with Brendan from What Were They Thinking, and occasionally his girlfriend Mariah. And we pull up the same wrestling thing and we just watch it in like Skype. If you want to do something like that once a week or like once every other week, we're happy to. We like you a lot. You're our friend.
Yeah, we'll do a Netflix watch party or like whatever.
We no longer live in a horde, so like it's nice. See, you're one of the few people who came over to the house like that was way too full.
Aw, well,
that's how much we like you.
Aw, I mean, like, we were, first of all, Brandon's in Canada, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that would have been hard. But, I mean, I will chalk that up to location and also, aw, friendship.
Yay, friendship! But yeah, like, if you just want to, like, watch a bad movie or to, like, a Netflix watch party or something, we are totally down.
Yay! We will work on that.
Ladies ready?
Let's do this!
Nope.
All right, let's pretend we saw the most thrilling... I don't even know what the trailer for this movie would be other than just random Nick Cage like, these numbers mean something.
Oh, my deaf son hears voices.
With words, it'll be the point where the trailer, like, where it's the words over but no voiceover. It's just like, our future.
Is in the hands of Nick Cage. We're screwed.
Again.
You and me together forever.
50 years ago, the students of William Dawes Elementary imagined what the future might hold. Today, we unveiled their legacy.
It's a list of dates.
Every major global disaster for the last 50 years in perfect sequence. The next number on the chain predicts that tomorrow, 81 people are going to die in some kind of tragedy.
Get off the train.
Why? What's wrong?
Just take the baby and get off the train.
Estimates put the presumed dead at 81.
The prediction came true. It's not coincidence. Don't let him watch the news.
Why won't you tell me what's going on? They were here.
Who?
The Whisper people.
The numbers are a warning. They're a warning to everyone.
This is not a test. This is an emergency broadcast transmission.
Are we gonna die?
I will never let that happen, Caleb. Do you hear me? Never.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is
Everything I Learned from movies.
And tonight!
Oh, tonight.
Oh, we are continuing Nick August Cage.
Nick August Cage.
With 2009's Knowing.
Yeah!
But thankfully, we are not alone with this movie.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, joining us is Diana from the Happily Ever Aftermath podcast. Welcome, Diana!
Yeah!
Yeah!
She gets it.
Oh, I got it.
This guy gets it.
Diana, was this your first time watching this movie?
This was the first time, and now I know Knowing.
She knows the Knowing.
See, I was like, I might have seen this movie, but if I did, I remember nothing of it. Then about 4 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I've totally seen this movie. I remember everything now.
Oh, shoot.
How about you, babe?
I had not seen this movie. I thought, like, at first maybe I had, and then I realized, no, I've seen the 7 other movies that are like this movie.
There you go.
The 7 other Nick Cage movies that all seem to melt into this movie.
But then, like, we'll get to it, but when we got to the end, I was like, oh no, I've not seen this movie. This isn't the one I saw.
I don't remember booing in a theater. No, wait. I mean, sorry. but first.
No.
Man, I'm a little parched. I don't know about you, babe.
I'm a little sober, so let's get this done.
Let's change that quickly. From Rogue Brewing in Newport, in Newport, Oregon, we have their Honey Kolsch.
Save the bees!
Not the bees! Situated just across from 40 acres of rogue hops, 119 colonies of bees were carefully kept and fed, and the honey was uncapped, extracted, filtered, and finally infused into refreshing Kolsch-style ale.
The bubbly bees!
Yeah, 5.2% alcohol by volume.
Steve, they think the flowers are delicious!
And they're tender grasses, yeah. That's what it's like going anywhere with you.
Look at the bunny, he's eating the tender grasses. That started when we were in Iceland and we heard about the reindeer. Oh, yeah. They so much of the stuff there is so coarse they have to eat the tender herbs. So it's like, Steve, look at the reindeer, they're eating tender herbs.
And the story continues.
No, it's every creature.
Alright, Honey Kolsch, here we go. Excuse me while I pop my top.
Ah, this top.
Nice. And the pour.
Ooh. Oh, this is a beautiful light golden color beer. It's got a white foamy head with lots of tiny bubbles. Yeah, it's got a really actually like clean aroma on it. Not too sweet. Not overly hoppy.
Oh, wow.
Steve's gone in for the sip.
Yeah, it's a nice smooth Kolsch. Yeah, a little bit of like earthy notes. A little piney and earthy.
Yeah, it's very dry, which would be because of the honey. You can fully ferment honey.
Yeah, well,
pour me a little more there.
Yeah, so the head was
just
coming
so
up
much
quick.
Head.
And you know how I dislike you sucking head.
On the podcast. Oh. Yeah,
it's true. Have to cut out all those gagging noises.
Diana, are you going for the hard stuff again this podcast?
Oh yeah. I mean, like, if we learned anything about like how water turns into ice, it could totally knock you out.
So hard.
I know, right? But yeah, I got me a nice bottle of Kirkland purified water here with minerals.
Ooh, the fancy stuff.
Ooh, la-dee-da.
Damn. Pinky is up.
Ooh, so fancy.
So knowing that, let's talk about Knowing.
Knowing.
From director Alex Proya.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, well, his name should sound familiar. The director of The Crow, Dark City, iRobot, This, and repeat offender on the podcast for Gods of Egypt.
Oh no.
Whoa, so wait, he and I have that in common where we both have, I was on the Gods of Egypt episode. Yeah!
Oh my god, that's right! June Revisited.
Yeah.
Yes, and also a couple writers on this one. Wow, strapping guys. One of the writers is Ryan Douglas Pearson. Who's he or she? Yeah, I don't know. Basically, they wrote Mercury Rising.
Uh-oh.
And This. Oh. That's pretty much it.
Yeah!
Wait, what? Mercury Rising? That's like the Bruce Willis and like the autistic kid or something, right?
Yeah, I immediately thought, Bruce Willis with the kid. Maybe Alec Baldwin's in there.
That kid was like deaf or something. Or... special handicap somehow, right? Or like,
I mean, I'm all for representation, but at the same time, if it's just like the same person writing it over and over again, it's going to be the exact same kid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Dang it. Yeah. Oh, well.
Other writers on this were Juliet Snowden and Stiles White. Great name. They wrote Boogeyman. With the other Deschanel. This, Ouija. And, of course, Ouija, Origin of Evil.
Yeah!
So, only the most thrilling of movies. Of course, you have Sir Nicolas Cage as John Kolsler, but I just remember John being his name. Rose Byrne as Diana.
What? Oh,
Rose
right.
Byrne.
Yes. Yeah, not
Rose
me.
Rose Byrne as Diana.
Woo! Damn it.
And, babe, did you catch that Liam Hemsworth was in this movie?
I did!
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, where was the little Hemsworth?
I honestly, okay, where, who was Liam Hemsworth? His name is Spencer in the credits.
Raise my hand.
You there in the back.
Yes. So similarly to his character, so you remember in the very, very beginning when they're at MIT and Nicolas Cage kind of dazes off where he's just like, you know, there's like deterministic and then there's just like coincidences and then like, my wife died, so I believe nothing, stares off into space. Remember when he was throwing the sun at people?
Yeah.
He threw the sun at the little Hemsworth.
Okay. He was, I remember thinking that guy kind of looked like a Hemsworth, but I was like, no. Why would they be in one of these movies?
I know. They're so busy free roaming around Australian beaches.
Right? Or in Hunger Games and such.
Exactly.
Little did we know he had just been killed off in Expendables 2.
Oh no!
Spoiler alert for 15 minutes into a movie that came out a decade ago.
Jesus, has it been a decade?
Yeah, easy.
Oh no.
Well, let's see. Maybe 2012 was the second one.
I was just like, goddamn, does that mean Stallone's like coming up on his 80th?
Yeah.
Oh. Holy shit.
Yeah, he's like 78, babe.
Oh my god.
Schwarzenegger is also like,
yeah, he's like,
actually shit, I think today might be like Stallone's birthday, hold on.
I know
it's like mid-July, so let's see
at the time of this recording.
Good point.
Peek behind the curtain.
Well, tell you what, while Steve's looking that up, I saw a meme that really made me want to cry. All you youngins out there that enjoyed the movie 16 Candles, according to the meme, Jake Ryan is turning 60 in 2020. And for those of you who aren't like upset about that, let me tell you this much. Imagine your teen, you know, your childhood crush turning 60.
It's going to be when Justin Bieber turns 60. Everybody's going to like, what?
Well, we'll be dead by then.
Yeah. God willing. It's either us or him, everybody.
At this rate.
I mean, Elizabeth Shue's still like, what, 32 maybe?
Oh, easily.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she's definitely not playing grandma's.
Wait, when was Karate Kid?
45 years ago.
35 years? Oh, wait a minute. My math is off.
Yeah.
So I apologize. Mr. Stallone's birthday was on July 6th, and he turned 74.
Oh!
Arnold Schwarzenegger's birthday, though, is coming up on July 30th. He will be turning 73.
All right.
73. So they can still play 42.
Yeah, Schwarzenegger definitely can.
Okay.
Even when Stallone was in Rocky and he was almost 30 at that point, still was like, God damn, that 45-year-old man's lived a rough life.
By the way, Diana, have you seen Schwarzenegger from Quarantine? The videos that have been going around?
A handful. I think I saw the one where he was in the hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
So have you seen the one where he's at his kitchen table and a donkey and a miniature horse start eating his breakfast?
No, but I'm just going to put that in my internet right now. And keep recording. I'll be right back.
Let's
see. Arnold Schwarzenegger, horse. Whoa, this is not a fanfic video I want to see.
No, apparently he's fostering adoptable ponies and donkeys, and he lets them eat his breakfast with him.
False, no such thing. Those things are not adoptable.
They're totally adoptable. See, we can have one.
Nope.
Can share the litter box with the kitties.
Can it fit in the rat cage? Anyway.
Maybe the current one.
Yeah, maybe. Right.
You gotta be the fine print. They adopt you, Steve.
Hmm.
Yeah, Steve, who saved who?
Yeah, I gotta turn in an application for that to happen.
Seems like I have to do the paperwork and write the checks, so...
Yeah, so, guess who's not getting a pony? Anyway, now that you know that... Knowing! I did want to note that... So we have this on DVD, because of course we do. And
is it part of a four-pack?
No, this one was actually part of the mystery bag that we got like a month or two ago. Yeah,
20 movies for $15, and you have no idea what's in there, including Knowing.
And oddly enough, that was among the worst ones in there. We got some cool shit.
We got one really good one. We also got one really shitty mix pack where, like, the best in it was like the Life and Times of John Smith.
Joseph Smith.
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
One of the other white guys who conquered people.
So wait. So let me take this guess. Okay, based on how I imagine that you're going to react to this, was the best one Mystic River?
Maybe. No, it was one that didn't get picked. I believe it was called The Sentinel. Anyway, still haven't watched that, but we're going to one day.
Yeah.
But the previews on this DVD included some movies I had completely forgotten about. Brothers Bloom. Do you remember that?
Oh, shoot. Okay, so we were just talking about Rachel Weisz, and this is Rian Johnson directed, I want to say. Because I was just like, Rian Johnson.
It may have been like his first movie or something. It was definitely that ilk.
So I'm intrigued. Go on.
The other one was a movie I had completely forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a little movie called Push?
Oh, shoot. Okay, was that the... Oh, shoot. Okay, in my mind, I'm seeing pyramids, and I'm seeing someone with a power, and it's based off of a comic
graphic
book.
Graphic novel, yeah.
Possibly, okay, all right, okay, so is it like Hayden Christensen?
Nope.
Okay, is it?
Nope, that's Jumper, because that's, I always get the two mixed up there. It's kind of the same thing. It's
all right.
Actually Captain America,
Chris
Evans.
Damn it, that was my second choice!
Yep, and he basically has carry power, like telekinetic powers.
Okay.
And then I think Dakota Fanning is the girl, or Abigail Breslin, I forget which one. But
Then
Jimon Hansu's chasing after him, and they're trying to get all these super-powered kids to turn into weapons. And, you know, it's basically Jumper.
I was about to say, now, because, like, in my head, was Mila Kunis in Jumper? Because, like, I'm imagining some sort of... Damn
it. It was... Shit, that girl from what was that show called, like Heart of Dixie,
Rachel Bilson.
All I know about her is she looks like Mia Kunis, and she's like 4'4".
Yay, my memory is okay.
So yeah, those are the previews of movies, action-packed movies coming out around the same time as this one.
Yep.
But then Knowing starts
with
the son whispering to a little girl. What? Just a girl staring at the sun and...
Why would you look in the sun to listen to it?
Well, that's where it's coming from, obviously.
You're going to have to speak up. I'm wearing a towel.
Point taken.
The year is 1959, and this little girl staring at the sun has won a contest, apparently, for involving a time capsule where her topic of draw what the future will look like will be opened 50 years later. And everyone's drawing pictures of, you know, people walking on the moon and like Jetsons space cars, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Lucinda, whose idea it was. And she's just frantically writing down numbers on a piece of paper. And the teacher's like, girl, what you doing with this? This was your idea. You're supposed to be drawing a picture.
And apparently, it was a timed assignment, because, like, your time's up, Lucinda, give me your paper!
Yeah, well, and that's, like, okay, so they got the whole class period, and I guess there was only, like, 15 minutes left in the class? I don't know, but...
Right.
Yeah, then, so they put, they take all the kids' pictures and stuff, put it in a little tube, bury it, but apparently, during the fracas, Lucinda's disappeared, and they find out, I don't know, a mere 4 to 5 hours later at the end of the school day. So there's a search party sent out for her, and everybody's like, Lucinda, where are you? Long story short, because I feel like this part was like 5 minutes of just people walking around saying Lucinda, the teacher goes down into the basement and hears like a scratching noise, and I'm like, them's rats, don't go down there. But she opens the door and out jumps nothing. You just see a little girl with bloody fingertips. Looks like she's typing into the air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boom! 2009. Hard cut. Well, actually, no, it's not a hard cut. That's right. It, like, shows the Earth, and then it, like, as the credits are going, it, like, starts zooming in to, like, we were like, oh, it's going towards Boston. That's cool. Oh, nope, never mind. It's going a little to the left. Or west, I guess. But, yeah. Yeah, then we get a little late night barbecue and wine drinking and telescoping.
Yep.
With Nicolas Cage and his son.
Yep. Also, most unbelievable part of this entire film, because they have a whole bunch of lights out by the telescope. The reason you have a telescope away from the house is to get away from the fucking lights!
Yep, every single light in the house is on, and it's, all
they got
windows.
And they got, like, five, lanterns all around the stupid telescope.
Yeah.
They got a barbecue going right next to the telescope because the smoke's definitely not going to get in the way.
Yeah, but they can definitely see the rings of Saturn.
If we're going to do the whole, this is the most unbelievable part of this movie, I have a couple of contenders. Let's go on.
Nope, this is the only unbelievable. The rest of it's totally believable.
Here, all right. This one's going up on the board.
The lights next to the telescope.
Let's see how long it takes until we can top that. I also have written down, this is a shit kid who's just decided he's a vegetarian now, mid-barbecue.
Oh my god, this kid's such an asshole.
Yeah, the whole movie, this kid, I'm like, I hope he gets killed and or whatever happens in this movie.
Yeah, one of my notes says, ugh, I hate sassy kids, and I was one, but this one sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, at least we're funny.
Yes, thank you.
See? So yeah, so they start talking about space and heaven and I guess a dead mom. And it's like, oh, okay, this is a great conversation to have with the kid right before he goes to bed. Yeah, let's do that.
Yep.
And then the kid's asleep, so you know what that means. Crank up that classical music.
Yep, let's get drunk and listen to classical music.
Yeah, he's like drinking his wine or whatever, and it's like, whoo, kid finally went to bed. Crank up that Wagner, baby. So the next morning, we find out Nicolas Cage is a professor at MIT. Of course he is. Why not? And we get the whole classroom scene where they talk about like determinism and probability. And and this is where I guess baby Hemsworth is, I don't know, throwing a ball and supposed to like tell him about the sun and what the purpose of it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Totally.
Well, if I have learned anything, it's that the sun is a mass of incandescent gas. A giant nuclear furnace where hydrogen is turned into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Perfect. Is that from the opening of Big Bang Theory? Or many wear hats or whatever? That's from a song,
They
right?
might be giants.
They might be giants. That's it. Damn it, I was close. I knew it was from a song, damn it. All right, but
you're welcome, by the way, everybody who knows that song, because it is now playing in their heads.
And it may be playing on the podcast. The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. The sun is hot, the sun is not a place where we could live, but here on Earth there'd be no life without the light it gives. But then towards the end of this discussion, one of the kids asked their teacher, well, what do you think it is? You think it's probability or determinism or some sort of divine intervention? And Diana, what does Nick Cage say?
I don't remember, Steve. What did he say?
Damn it. Do you remember, babe?
What does he say, Steve?
I think shit just happens.
Oh, yeah. That was dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, it was dumb.
But MIT professor, everybody.
You're right.
Yeah.
But then we also are introduced to another person in the faculty. Ben Mendelsohn shows up out of nowhere.
Yep.
In a super important part that's so important, he comes back about an hour later, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, Ben Mendelsohn's in this movie. They're like walking to lunch or something and having a discussion, and Ben Mendelsohn, in the small role he has in here, is actually kind of intriguing and like an actual character, unlike anybody else in this movie.
You love Ben Mendelsohn, though.
I mean, he's all right.
There's not one role you don't like him in.
Trespass.
You even liked him
Rogue
in that.
One.
You even liked him in that. I'm not saying there's not right movies you didn't like that he happened to be in. I'm saying that there's not a role he hasn't played that you didn't enjoy.
Mr. Mendelsohn, please join us on our podcast. No. I can gush over you and talk for an hour and a half about Knowing in your 4 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
But I like how they mentioned he's like trying to hook Nick Cage up with like his sister-in-law or something like that.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, you remember PH Double D? And oh god, Nick Cage does something like, oh, is that a fact? Is that a real name? He's like, well, it's fact pending peer review, but yeah, I mean that was. And I'm like, I'm gonna have to remember that one. And then like halfway through, Nicolas Cage is like, oh fuck, that's right, I'm supposed to be at the time capsule ceremony with that my son's like the main thing of. I guess he won a contest or something and gets to cut the ribbon on a time capsule opening. It doesn't matter.
So many contests in this movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. Life is a contest.
I want him in a contest two towns over.
Yeah. Don't look into it. So we go to the capsule opening ceremony, and they open it up, and there's all these letters, and the whispering starts up a little bit again, and it's like, and then the teachers just start handing them out to all the kids to open, and I'm like, nope, you're not getting any of those fucking back. You just threw that trash away.
Yep. Yes, you did. Agreed.
All right. Oh, wait, we may have a contender for. Okay, that's still a little
still
under.
Still more believable than lights next to the telescope.
Right, I mean, right. It was poorly planned, but I can imagine that schools did something that was poorly planned.
Yep. I mean, it's not like they're trying to open in the middle of a pandemic, am I right?
Oh, speaking of the forecoming apocalypse, Nicolas Cage's son Caleb is the one that gets Lucinda's letter, and he starts hearing the whispering voices. And then, okay, so he gets the letter, and then we cut to, I guess, dinner that night, and we find out, this is the first point I noticed that Caleb even had a hearing aid. I don't know if I just missed it in previous scenes and stuff with them, but he, like...
in the going to bed scene, he, like, puts it in its case.
Yeah, I must have been
I missed that,
away.
Too. Yeah, this is the first time I noticed it as well.
Yeah,
because I was like, ugh, oh no, they're going with the Stephen King magical disabled kid trope.
Dang it.
But, we get a whole scene where Nick Cage is like, oh, you know you weren't supposed to take that letter, right? Like, why the fuck were they handing them out, Dad?
Why would they even let us children touch them?
Yeah. And then it's like, all right, cool, well, we'll take it back tomorrow. No harm, no foul, blah, blah, blah. Nick Cage, like, goes to tuck Caleb in, and I sees Caleb's like watching videos of the dead mom, and so he's like, oh, okay, I better just leave him be or whatever. So he goes downstairs and starts, I've written down, Nicolas Cage watching the Tiger King.
Woo! Yeah, it's just tigers.
It's just tigers, but someone's got to film
King
it.
Of Tigers.
This movie, knowing what the future held,
right?
Nicolas Cage as the Tiger King.
It was on the paper, everybody. Okay,
this was the most accurate.
Yeah. So, and of course, the only way to watch Tiger King is drinking glass after glass of scotch. And,
yeah. Or like we drank Suffering Bastards while watching it.
Absolutely.
Because what's a better drink?
But Nick Cage like accidentally like sets his whiskey glass like. It, like, spills a little bit or something on the letter.
Oh, no.
And he's like, oh, shit, no. And he's, like, trying to brush it off, and he notices, wait, there's a circle of whiskey on this paper. And I'm like, yeah, you fucked it up. But, you know, you can blame it on the kid, say it's grape juice or something. But he's like, wait, these numbers, they mean something. And then this is again, one of the more realistic scenes where a math person gets a little drunk and starts... thinking numbers mean something.
Yep.
I mean, my husband definitely has never had this moment.
Nope, not even a little bit. Don't even know you would say that. Not constantly thinking like that all the time. I believe it was like as soon as they show the paper like the first time, I'm like, oh, 9/11. I see that one right yep. Right there.
Yeah, like as soon as like the kid opens it up, you were like, oh, 9/11.
Never forget. I mean, the odds of seeing 0911 in a row is only 1 in 10,000. So, nobody? All right.
Yeah. No, number is bad.
Oh, if you need numbers, Steve makes math. He is an artisanal math maker.
Oh.
Yeah.
He handcrafts. Handcrafts his math.
All right. I want to see that.
Wait, are you saying mathematics or like methamphetamines?
Mathematics.
Okay, just making
you're
sure.
You're a mathematician.
Just want to clarify in case anyone's a little confused out there. I am not making drugs, wink, wink.
This reminds me of when I was in junior college. They were busy building a math lab.
Yeah.
It was a lab building for mathematics, but they just called it the math lab.
Oh my god, we also
I got to go to the grand opening of the math lab. It's a, well, you saw it. It says math lab in giant letters on the side of this like 4-story building.
Yep. So yeah, so drunk Nick Cage is doing math. He basically goes beautiful mind on this list of numbers and starts circling things. And he's like, and the one he finds like 09 11 01, and then 2996, and he starts Googling and shit. And it's like, oh my god, 2,996 people died at 9/11, and then he starts doing a bunch of other numbers, and it matches up with every world catastrophe over the last 50 years while this thing was rotting away in a time capsule. And the thing I've written down is, you know, compared to a lot of these like thousands of people dying in earthquakes and stuff like that, the U.S. did okay. Like, aside from 9/11, there wasn't a whole lot of others out of the 50 or 60 that popped up on his sheet.
Yeah, I was looking for other patterns as it was happening too, which is like, well, first of all, him writing 09. Okay, my husband and I had the same. Because it was like 9/11, and then it was 01. And I'm like, we had the same observation. So there's no, like, you know, zero in front of it, so we know that this is when it is. It's just like, no, just, we'll just do 9 this there. And when it's like 1/2, then that's actually December. So, like, there, it's assuming that it's our calendar. So how egotistical is that?
Yeah.
So there's that version of it. And then also, like, all these different things. First of all, how is it that it took him that long to recognize 9/11? Was he that drunk?
He was a little drunk. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean,
yeah. Okay.
And he had been watching Tiger King.
Did you guys not catch the scene where he rips his whiteboard off the wall? Yeah. That's not a sober person move.
That's true.
Okay. Well, I was just in the moment with Nick Cage. I just didn't assume it was alcohol.
He just fell into those soft blue eyes.
Rose Burns?
Yeah. So after being up all night drinking and having a gay old time, going beautiful mind, he's then immediately woken up by his kid, like, Dad, you got to drive me to school. You got the carpool today. And so we smash cut to him driving kids to school drunk.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And then...
sadly, still believable.
Yeah, I mean, it checks out. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, I don't know, later that day, he's, like, talking to Ben Mendelsohn or something. And he's like, okay, so I was doing drunk math again last night. He's like, oh, of course you were. And apparently, according to this thing, tomorrow 81 people are going to die in some sort of a tragedy, and like all these big catastrophes and stuff. And it also includes the hotel fire my wife burned in. How did it get burned? How did it get burned?
How did it get burned?
And then I remember the first time watching. It was like, there's all these other numbers after them, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, they're coordinates. Come on, Nick. No, what else is it going to be? Like, oh no, just random phone numbers I could have called to save them. No, it's like coordinates where they happened or something. But you know,
good,
we're not supposed to know
Steve.
That yet. What else would it be?
Well, okay, so Ben Mendelsohn's character was just like, what about these other numbers? And I'm just like, what about the fact that this lines up beautifully? I mean, clearly there's something, but let's not discount. There's other numbers. There's other numbers, Nick Cage.
What are the odds to get this precise number just randomly? And it's like, I don't know, 1 in 1 quadrillion? That's a number, right? I'm sorry, 1 in 3 quadrillion.
That sounds too much like Katrina, and I'm pretty sure that was in the date, so too soon.
Oh, it was.
Damn it.
And Nick Cage is like, well, I should go see the old-ass teacher that was around when this little girl wrote these numbers down. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yep.
And then while he's talking to the old lady, could you tell me what was weird about finding Lucinda? And she's like, oh, well, she was scratching at the door.
Scratching at the door?
Yeah, see, this movie even predicted Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And then like the kid's like waiting outside or something because he has to like watch the kid around. Or I don't know what. But some guys just drive up and he like goes over to talk to them and they hand him a rock and it's like, wait, what are you doing talking to those guys? Hey, you guys come back here. Oh. And then the kid's like, hey, this gave me a rock. It's cool, right? It's shiny and shit. Okay, cool. So then. That's right, like Nick Cage's sister-in-law, Grace, shows up.
Not Rose Byrne.
Yeah, not Rose Byrne. Some lady. But her sister, Grace, mm-hmm. she shows up and is basically like, oh, how you been? How's the little nephew doing? By the way, you remember our dad's a pastor, right? You haven't talked to him in a couple years, you know, since our sister, my sister burned in a hotel fire or something.
So this is a Stephen King movie, right?
Pretty much.
Super religious parents that nobody wants to talk to.
It's someone trying magical to be children. Stephen King, definitely.
I mean, it's definitely hitting a lot of Stephen King tropes. We could definitely do the drinking game.
But it's in Massachusetts, not Maine.
Oh, drinking. That's drinking's a Stephen King trope, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like there's an alcoholic father and a kid with superpowers. Oh, shit.
A disabled kid with superpowers. Oh, no. Oh my God. Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Fuck you, Miami Connection.
You love that movie.
It's got to be coming soon.
You love that movie so much.
So me.
It's weirdly everything you want in a movie.
Everything I want in a movie. Kind of like Showdown in Little Tokyo.
Yes! Oh, I can't. Oh. All right, save it for the next pod.
Yep, next one. So then that night, he's up watching the news. You know, he's up watching his Fox News, and so just like, what? Some catastrophe is going to happen. I got to see it happen. It's supposed to be tonight. 81 people are going to die, blah, blah, blah. And then again, he sleeps through the morning, and I guess the kid gets to school somehow.
He gets drunk. He gets drunk, and he apparently sleeps until, like, school gets out. Because the next scene is his son calling him going, Dad, where are you? You're on afternoon carpool.
Fuck. So he runs off. Oh, yeah, and this is where also he, like, finally figures out that the other numbers are locations, like, you know, latitude and longitude. Oh, by the way, he's finding it out while stuck in traffic on, like, the Massachusetts Turnpike or something. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, shit, I'm going to be late. Sorry, good. Wait, that's this loop. And then he starts, like, looking at the paper, like, where this tragedy is supposed to happen is, and he realizes it's where he is.
He takes this it into location. His GPS.
Yeah. And then what happens to Diana?
Well, there seems to be some sort of accident there, so it's just like, oh my God, maybe this is what happened, and this is the accident, so he runs to the front. Sir, you're gonna have to get back in your car. And then the person who's yelling at him looks up, oh my God, and a plane decides to descend right into the cars behind him.
Yeah, a fucking plane crash, not 100 feet behind him.
Yep. Right? Okay, so this police officer, this peace officer, who is supposed to be protecting the public, no warning or anything, just starts running. So Nick Cage turns around. Also, the peace officer is looking directly behind Nick Cage. Mm-hmm. The plane comes in from the right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was
storytelling.
A lot of things wrong with that particular scene. But
still more believable than somebody turning on a lamp right next to their telescope.
That's true. You know what? This is moving up to number two, though. I'm going to keep it on the board here. Yeah, so this plane crash, and then it's like, yeah, it just crashes like off to the side of the freeway. Nick Cage is like running to the rescue with this cool little like, quote unquote, one shot.
This is like a weird over digital one shot. And like, I kept wanting to be impressed, but it kept doing stuff that was like too big for the scene and like pulling me out of it.
Agreed.
Yeah. It was just weird and wonky and stuff with like spatial relations and stuff like that. But like Nick Cage is like running through this debris field basically, and there's like people burning alive and like, help me. And of course Izzy's screaming, drop and roll, dummy.
Nobody learns stop, drop and roll. Come on.
Yeah. And there's like people like, oh my God, help me. Can you help me? And then they see it's Nick Cage and they're like, nope, you're not going to help me. And there's just fucking corpses everywhere. And I'm like, PG-13, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Burning, smoldering corpses and people being, like, decapitated and shit. Yeah. It was like, whoa, this is oddly intense for what this movie was the first half hour or whatever we're up to.
It took a turn. Much like that plane.
Yeah. it took a sharp turn left right into the ground.
it was pretty brutal.
Yeah. So, we find out later that night, like, as he's, like, walking in the door, I guess someone eventually picked up the kids and took them home. But 81 people died. He got to see it. And shit kids, they're like, whoa, what happened? What's going on? Why are you like this? What? Can I have some veggie lasagna? Come on, Dad. What? You know, just being a real shit kid.
Yep. Still maintaining then, my vegetarianism, but what's going on?
I like men now. Yeah. So Ben Mendelsohn then comes over and they start, you know, spouting theories. And of course, Ben's like trying to play devil's advocate, but it's like, I don't know what to tell you, man. This shit happened. What does it mean, though? And all that. And he's like, well, there's two disasters left on this paper. And then, so we gotta, you know, figure that shit out. One's for like 3 days from now, and the other one's like next week or something. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
And
keep him away from the TV.
Yeah, so Caleb's like up in his room or whatever, and he starts hearing the whispering and like looks outside, and there's just some gangly dude out there in a trench coat and just looks up at him and points at him, and of course Caleb's just standing there going, okay, whatever. But then he starts getting some vision of like everything outside's like on fire.
Yeah.
Basically, he gets to see a Smokey the Bear commercial where like all the animals are on fire. And
okay, animals know to stop, drop, and roll instinctively. So also false.
But what if they're like those fire creatures from Pokemon?
Yeah, like a Charmander?
Exactly.
Then
like
they
a
wouldn't
Charmander.
Be screaming.
Put it on the board, Steve.
Well, there.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board?
Yeah.
All right, yep. Animals knowing how to stop, drop, and roll. Okay, I think that's at like number three.
Thank you.
That is more believable than somebody putting a light next to a fucking telescope.
Yeah, that's why it's on the board.
But I'll be perfectly honest. I think I may have been more traumatized by the animals on fire than the humans on fire. Oh, when they introduced the bunny early, I'm like, honey, is this bunny going to die? You want me to look it up for you? No.
No, don't do it.
Okay, the bunny never comes back.
Yeah, nope. It does. At the end.
Well, no, that's a different bunny.
Different bunny.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So your the tail. Bunny at the beginning of the telescope scene is a big, like, slate blue colored bunny.
Oh.
Definitely a different bunny.
Also, this kid's supposed to just fucking love animals and care for everything in life and all of that. I'm going to call that into question later in this movie.
Okay. Oh, good.
But, all right. So after seeing, I don't know, a forest fire apocalypse... Uh-huh. Of course, Caleb does what any kid would do and just screams. And then Nicolas Cage like runs up there, like, oh, what's going on? Like, oh, there's a man out on the lawn. He's making me see prophecies. What? All right, you son of a bitch. And
wait,
he like
runs
out there and like, chases
bears?
Them off. Yeah, right. Wait.
Bears, prophecy.
Oh, yeah. half bear, half bee. Not the bees. Oh, coming soon.
Man, bear, pig?
Don't worry, I'll cut that part out. Have you seen the prophecy, Diana?
Wait, no, the Christopher Walken?
No, that's no. Just prophecy. The prophecy is a late 70s animal horror movie starring Armando Sante. And
what? No.
I think it's the other way. I think the prophecy is Christopher Walken. I think prophecy is just the bear.
I'm pretty sure the prophecy is the bear, but...
The point is, not the same movie.
Not only that, it's Armand Asante as a Native American.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've seen worse this week.
But... Look up Gray Owl.
Oh, Gray
Owl. Pierce Brosnan plays a Native American.
I think I remember the cover of that.
It's actually a pretty good movie.
Steve, he literally plays.
Yes.
Yeah. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, check it out. Directed by Dr. Hammond from Jurassic Park.
Oh. Yeah.
Who also directed Gandhi.
By the way, if you're ever curious what my father looked like, he looked like Dr. Hammond.
Oh.
Spend no expense.
One of the Attenboroughs.
Yeah. Richard. Yep.
Yeah. Isn't there a John?
He's
got a brother. There's more than
Richard
one.
And who's the other Attenborough? Yeah, I think it is John.
Woo!
Yeah. So, yeah, after chasing off the dude who he never saw into the forest, Nicolas Cage decides the next day he's going to start stalking Lucinda's daughter.
Smart.
Yeah. Played by Rose Byrne. Yeah.
And Cage stalking children.
Yeah. And so he follows up. And the kid's with him the whole time, too. It's like, does the kid know they're just stalking people at this point? Or what's going on with that? Yeah, so they go to the museum. And then he starts having awkward ass small talk with Rose Byrne. I've written down Nick Cage, the master of awkward small talk.
Yeah.
How does this man ever get laid? Because he's amazing.
Right.
And then, yeah.
Turns out her daughter is also obsessed with the animals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Nick Cage, like, immediately starts going into talking about, like, how, like, oh, I think your daughter has a gift. Like, my son has a gift. And what hearing voices and blah, blah, blah.
It's I
like,
have what? To go now? Wait, smart. Did your mom ever talk about stuff?
Yeah. Is your mom crazy, too? Yeah, basically he starts catching up Rose Byrne on the rest of the movie. Or on the
look, first half of the movie. I don't talk about that part of my life anymore, and I'm going to go now because you're getting really weird.
Well, 178 people are going to die in New York City tomorrow.
I don't even care. I don't care.
And then 3 days after that, there's going to be 33 more people that die.
Goodbye forever.
Yeah. So then, of course, Nick Cage does the only thing he can do. After seeing on the news, the terror level has been raised to, I don't know, magenta.
Uh-huh. Huge.
He calls the FBI and says, hey, 178 people are going to die at the intersection of, like, Worth and Lafayette in New York City. And, of course, the FBI is like, that's great, sir. Why don't you come tell us in person? I don't know. By the way, do you know what Guantanamo is? You're going to find out. So, basically, he drops his son off with his sister, Grace. And, this is where he tells him, don't let him watch the news. And it's like, why? What the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, that sounded a little bit too freaky.
Well, yeah, so instead Nick Cage drives to New York, goes to the corner of Worth and Lafayette, where he sees a lot of people in uniforms, a lot of people out of uniforms walking around the place, and he runs up to the...
Oh sorry, ahead. This is where I should chime in with my unrealistic candidate here. He drives up to New York, he parks, and then he just goes across the street to where he needs to be.
Yep. Yeah, plenty of parking right there in the middle of Wall Street or something.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly where this is, but it's New York City. I'm assuming it's Manhattan.
Yeah, with all of the people in suits at the subway, I'm just like, no, 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 no. How close are they to Wall Street? And even if that were the case, no. Not everyone is in their suit. Oh, there's somebody dressed in a hoodie. Okay, that's a little better. That can't be right.
So he goes up, starts talking to the closest police officer, saying, no, this place was supposed to be closed off. What the hell are you guys doing? And he's like, that's great, sir. Why don't you come with me and my friends here, and we'll just get you the hell out of here. We'll start probing you, finding out where the bomb is or something. Mm-hmm. But instead he's like, nope, fuck this, and runs off, goes into the subway, and he's just like down there in the subway, and there's one guy that looks kind of sketchy. And so he immediately just starts chasing after him.
You look guilty. Let's go.
And of course the guy's like, oh, there's an asshole chasing me. And so then the cop sees like two guys running literally right alongside a fucking moving train right there on the track. Or the platform?
Yeah, platform. Yeah,
the platform.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, of course, the cop immediately pulls a gun on him. He's like, get to the fucking
house. He should. Somebody called in a bomb threat the day before.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That cop is on high fucking alert.
Yeah. Well, that's right. They get into the train, too. And that's when the cop pulls the gun on him. Like, hey, asshole, blah, blah, blah. And then we find out the guy that was running had bootleg DVDs under his coat. Okay, so that goes nowhere, right? Nope. Wait. There's something happening up on the tracks. There's like a short or something. Spark. And of course, the wrong track. There's a train coming right for us. Oh shit. Everybody get out of the way. Boo. Fucking CGI crash from hell. Just mowing through people. Just. You're seeing bodies going under. But no blood.
There's so a PG, little.
A little, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's like a little spring like on the windows and stuff. And it's like, fuck!
So yeah. Gross.
What was it? 178 people die? PG-13, though. So, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so Nicolas Cage survives, though, because, you know, he's the hero.
Yeah.
Or does he? And he was a ghost the whole time. No. And he goes home with his son. After picking up his son or whatever at the sister's. But Rose Byrne and her daughter are waiting there at the house. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, okay, cool. So what's going on here? What's this? What what numbers did my mom tell you, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, okay, coming up on October 19th, 33 people are going to die. And she's like, well, that's cool. That's the day my mom said that I was going to die.
Ugh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they just start exchanging a bunch of sad stories on the drive out to grandma's trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, well, yeah, I always thought my mom was crazy, and but she told me I was going to die, and I was like, no, I'm just not going to believe it. And he's like, yeah, my wife burned in a hotel, you know, I'm single, and you're single, right?
Our kids will probably grow up and marry each other. It'll be a whole thing.
It'll only be weird later.
Or now.
So they pull up to the grandma's trailer, like out in the middle of the forest somewhere.
Yep.
And, Babe, do you remember what you were screaming as soon as we pulled up to the trailer?
Oh, the light's on above the front door.
Yep, all the porch lights are on, so we can distinctly see the trailer. It's like, no one's lived here in like 15 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, who's paying the fucking electric bill?
Put that on powered. The list.
wait, solar powered, it's going down low on the list, though.
Yeah, all right, you know what, yeah, Walmart...
We never see the top of the trailer.
Walmart has those little, like, stick-on ones that has a little built-in solar panel.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's on the board, but it's low, guys.
Yeah, okay, that's fucking bullshit.
Mildly plausible. Mildly.
More plausible than somebody being able to see the rings of Saturn through a telescope with seven fucking lanterns next to it.
Don't worry, there's more contenders coming up, everybody. So... then they're like looking around. I forget, like, were all the numbers like written on like a chalkboard or something in the trailer? Is that how they see, like, wait, this doesn't say 33, it's like two E's backwards for some fucking reason? Okay.
I thought he had it like a picture of it on his
photo?
Phone or something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, maybe that was it. Maybe, okay. Oh, that's right. They go into like the mom's or the grandma's, like, Lucinda, I guess. Lucinda's what used to be the bedroom or something.
Yep.
And there's like a room of disasters and stuff, like where it's got all the pictures and stuff on the wall, like, oh yeah, 1,000 people die in Mexico with an earthquake and blah blah blah, and it's like, I don't know, something out of Seven. But and then there's like the illustration for like Ezekiel 1 of like,
yeah,
I don't know, some dude with a beard and the sun and a goat lion creature. I don't know.
My mom used to stare at this picture for hours.
That's actually where we found her corpse, lying right there. It's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, we hosed it down. Don't worry.
Yeah.
By the way, I, you know what? Possibly more unbelievable than people having lanterns next to the telescopes. Yeah. This trailer doesn't have any leaks. Like, the roof isn't caving in.
Well, it's because it's covered with solar panels.
Yeah, every trailer leaks. Every single trailer leaks.
Well, that's what happens when they're made out of cardboard. Yeah, okay.
Particularly one that's been abandoned for 15 years.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, they also find, like, the little black rocks, kind of like the ones the guys gave Kayla, but there's, like, I don't know, 30 of them. But it kind of leads them to a trail, like, under the bed, and then Nick Cage, like, apparently it was a Murphy bed the whole time and like flips it up.
It's a Murphy bed the whole time.
I think I know what the EE means. And like scratched into the bottom of like a piece of leather on the bottom of the bed. I don't know what it says. Everyone else, everyone else, everyone else, everyone else. And it's like extinction level event.
I was going to say, yeah, Steve, though, what was your,
Oh, as soon as I said EE, it's like, yeah. Oh yeah, extinction event. That's what it means, right?
Yeah.
I saw it and I thought, everyone!
Everyone! See, Gary Oldman knew.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's right. Meanwhile, like, they're going around the dead grandma's trailer and the kids are just out in the SUV or whatever, you know, just waiting. But then, the whispering starts again. And the kids looking around. Oh my god, there's a lot of tall, gangly white people walking towards us! We'll wait till they're really close though before we start honking the horn and letting anybody know. Because I kind of want to know what they're saying. And then, so they honk the horn. Nick Cage comes running out, ready to kick some ass, but they're all gone.
Yeah.
Like, well, what is it? Oh, there were people outside. They're saying we could go with them. And then Cage is like, nope, fuck this. Pulls a gun out of the dashboard. And he goes running into the woods. And I'm like, all right, good luck with that, buddy. You could just get the fuck out of there.
Too easy.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. And then he like catches up to one of them. He's like, "Freeze, motherfucker!" And then the guy just slowly turns around, looks at him, opens his mouth, and apparently the sun's inside of his head.
Ooh, it's the bees.
Yep. Just a fucking mouth light, like right into his eyes, like, "Oh fuck!" And the guy disappears. It's like,
"Big trouble, little China, you hacks."
That's right.
I mean, I'm willing to wager in a director's cut, he'd be like, I hear you like to look at telescopes while light is going. Let me help you with that.
And then he sees the rings of Saturn in the man's mouth. Yeah, so then we cut to a little later. I guess they get home and Nick Cage gets in bed with his son, which is like, okay, that's a little weird. It's a little small bed for that to go on. But then he starts making promises he intends to keep, like, "I promise I will never die," or something like that.
Nobody's ever kept that promise in a movie.
That's right.
I feel like Diana's there with me.
And then we get to a part of the movie where it's like, wow, what could this extinction event thing mean, you know, where everyone's gonna die? What is it going to be like? I don't know. Is the world just going to blow up? Or is it going to be the rapture or something? And then, that's right. Nicolas Cage and Ben Mendelsohn are having this conversation. And then Ben Mendelsohn says, "Hey, remember that solar flare thing you were working on like 2 years ago where you were saying a solar flare was going to roast the earth like in 3 days?" I'm like, wait, what? This was like your fucking thesis a couple years ago? And you're like, "Oh yeah, I kind of remember something like that." Shit, is it 2009 already? Yeah, so apparently that's how it's going to end. It's going to wipe out the Earth. And then it's like, well, how am I supposed to stop the end of the world? Yep, good question. You can start by wearing a mask, everybody. That's right.
Yeah.
And you can find mask at redbubble.com.
Search Untidy Venus.
Is it Untidy Venus or...
Oh, sorry, it's Izzy Creates. Yeah, search. Izzy Creates.
Yeah.
All one word.
Do your part. And so then Nick Cage breaks the news to, like, Rose Byrne and everybody, you know, is basically like, so apparently the Earth's going to end in, like, I don't know, 14 hours. What should we do? And, of course, Rose Byrne's like, "You know, I know where there's some caves at where we could go down and hide out for the solar flare thing."
We
can
go down, huh?
Yeah, go down in those caves. Those sweet, sweet caverns. Diana, is something wrong?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
I don't want that to go into my repertoire of vocabulary. Thank you.
Sweet, sweet caverns. So then Nick Cage, like it was hinted at earlier, but there's like this present that I guess he got from his wife or for his wife or something earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I guess now's a good time as any. I should open up and see what's in there. And it's a locket with pictures in it. And it's like, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
Then he decides, now's the time. I'm going to call my father-in-law. And, you know, I know he's a religious man, so he's going to like to know that I have a prophecy and you should get your ass underground. And, you know, the rapture's coming. Make sure your affairs are in order, I guess. Make sure you're right with God. And I love how the father-in-law is kind of like, I'm good. I've lived a full life. I'm not going to live in a cave. Fuck that.
See, this is the thing.
Freedom.
Like the anti-maskers, they're hearing God calling them home. So they're waiting.
Yeah.
I mean, can they wait over there, like 6 feet or more feet away from me?
I mean right?
I mean, I think the answer is obvious. We just got to go in the caves. Wait, no, that's not it. Yeah, oh, that's right. And then around this time, this is when, like, after the phone call, I go see, hey, Caleb, how's it go? What are you doing writing down all these numbers? Oh, no! but then he, like, takes the paper out from under, and then Caleb just starts scratching it into the ground, and he's like, wait, scratching. Scratching at the door?
Scratching.
So, like, you explaining that to me, it just made me realize something. I think at the moment when I was watching it, I'm just like, so is this implying that the end of the world isn't going to happen and now other disasters are going to be in the future? Or did we ever figure out what he was scratching up?
So when he was scratching it all down, Yeah, they never, like, he never, like, got to, like, look at the numbers, because I assume he's like, well, everything's going to be gone in 2 days anyway, so whatever.
Oh, jeez.
But this is when he's like, no, wait, scratching at the door, that's right. I need to go find that door at the elementary school that Lucinda scratched into, because maybe there's something in there that'll, whatever, I don't know.
Weirdly enough.
This part got a little convoluted for me, but...
Oh, sure, but I actually considered it believable that a door that's been there for 50 years would still be in a public elementary school.
Painted over, like, 12 times.
That's easily the most believable.
Yeah, indeed. That's not even going on the board, you guys.
No.
But Nick Cage, like, showing up and just, like, taking the door off, taking it home, doing the heat gun and the scraper, like the paint scraper thing on it, to try to get coordinates as to, I guess, where the... Oh, that's right. He's getting the coordinates to find out where this everyone else event is happening. So, you know, I guess he wants front row seats or something.
Sure.
And as he's, like, scraping the paint and stuff off the door, that's when Rose Byrne's like, nope, fuck this. I'm taking the kids with me to the caves.
Goodbye forever.
Yep. And then he's like, where are you guys going? And he, like, tries calling them, but there's no cell phone signals because I guess the solar flares are knocking out all the satellites or something like that. And that's right. And the kids start hearing the voices again. And they're like, no, they talk to us. They know where we are. And they say we can go with them and blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's right. And then, like, the emergency broadcast system comes on telling everyone, hey, stay indoors or get underground if you can or whatever. Shit's about to go down. No further questions, Your Honor. Oh, that's right. They stop at, like, a gas station, and Caleb calls Nick Cage, and he's like, Dad, what's happening? What's going on? And find out, like, the coordinates are where the grandma's trailer was. So that's where they're all trying to get now, instead of the caves, or I don't know. Rose Byrne starts screaming. She's like, no, we have to save the children. And then they're immediately kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like she's like screaming. She's like screaming at, like, the parents or something, like, in the gas station, like, no, we have to save the kids. And then, like, the car's, like, driving off, and she's like, fuck!
Fuck, fuck, fuck!
And then does she, like, hop in somebody else's, like, steal somebody else's car and chases after
them? I think
she gets
in their car. The car they pulled up in.
Oh, so the car that drove off was, like, somebody else. Oh, okay.
So they took her car. They took her car, so I think she took their car. Like, they jumped out of their car and jumped into hers.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
That's what I thought, because nobody else was freaking out about her taking a car.
Yeah.
And nobody mentions it.
Good observation.
Well, they were kind of riding, alluding, too, but yeah, okay. Okay, I'll buy it. So, yeah, so she's chasing after this car and driving and, like, oh my god, my babies! Just screaming and shit. And then, like, you know, there's a little bit of traffic. She's like, nope, I'm going to go around, because this is how I do it. Right into an intersection, and Diana, what happens?
Crash.
Yep. Fucking semi just smashes. Ugh. Fucking T-bones Rose Byrne in the side.
Savage.
Sending her just rolling down the road, and I have written down, fuck, PG-13.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yep. So what happens here? Oh, yeah, Nicolas Cage pulls up to the gas station. It's like, was there a woman acting crazy here? And it's like, fucking everybody's acting crazy. These assholes are looting my store.
No, she was here. She had two kids. She would have been really panicked.
Oh, yeah, whatever. She went that way. Hey, you're going to pay for that. You know, screaming at some other guy. So he peels out of the gas. Oh, that's right. When he pulls into the gas station, he does, like, fucking, like, Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
Like, like, peeling in, then he asks the people, and then he's like, oh, then that way you say, peeling out of there, and I'm like, damn.
Yep.
Somebody's driving angry.
I get it.
Yeah, okay.
Mandy.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I don't know. The Rock?
Leaving Las Vegas in a hurry. So he drives up, gets to the crash site, and the cops are already, like, firing warning shots and stuff.
Oh.
And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Oh, yeah, that's right. Everybody's losing their shit. He, like, goes up to, like, the ambulance, and they're, like, putting Rose Byrne's corpse in there. Now, they're, like, trying to revive her, but after a couple, clears... They're like, well, call it exactly midnight.
Yep.
And then Nick Cage is like, oh man, that sucks. Oh, there's a rock in your hand.
Huh.
Well, I'm going to take it from your still warm corpse. Ellie, and the EMT's just like immediately left too. And it's like, well, she's dead. What else we got going on out here? And then, you know, they just like watch Nick Cage walk in. Basically, what happens from here? Yeah, he like drives to the trailer, the grandma's trailer.
Yep.
Oh, and he's driving and he has like the gun in his hand, like right there on the wheel. And I'm like, that's an accident waiting to happen.
Right. It was not good watching that the whole time.
And then, so he gets to the trailer and sees one of the gangly dudes and he pulls a gun on him. He's like, I want my son! Bring me back my son! And Caleb
killed my wife!
Is that my daughter in
is
there?
Is that my daughter in there? But then Caleb shows up and he's like, Dad, no, it's okay. We just gotta go with them. This is apparently, I don't know, an arc or something? Some sort of alien rapture that's happening right now?
Hey, look, I get a new bunny. By the way, I never made a fuss about leaving my bunny behind. Not because every kid would just leave their fucking beloved pet behind when apparently all they do is love animals.
Yep.
But he didn't eat it, so he's still a good kid.
Awesome, Pfeffer. So yeah, apparently we're just getting caught up like, oh yeah, it's basically the rapture, but with aliens, and, you know, they're letting us take these animals, and a bunch of animals from the forest and stuff too, and okay, cool, a spaceship shows up, and this spaceship is like, I don't know, some weird, like, screensaver or something, like an...
Yeah,
I don't know, but... But basically, like, you know, the kids are walking up, and one of the gangly dudes is, like, the bouncer, we're like... Whoa, yep. Where's your pass, buddy? They got rabbits. What about you?
No.
I have this rock.
Yeah. And they're like doing the whisper voices or whatever. And the kid's like, what? Really? Oh, man. But sorry, no. Dad. They say only the chosen can go.
But Dad, I want you to go. I don't want to leave my daddy. By the way, little girl is like, my mommy's dead and it's okay.
Yeah, totally.
I'm a sociopath.
I got a bunny.
Who needs a mommy?
Yeah. Oh, and also it's like only the chosen can go, and Nick Cage is like, I'm sorry, I can't go with you, Caleb. He's like, I know, that's what I just said. You're not chosen. I get it. It's you know. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, and he's like, oh, yeah, watch over Abby, the other daughter and stuff. He's like, yeah, okay, cool, whatever that means. Don't worry. We'll all be together. I know it. And I'm like, I don't know about that. So he gives Caleb the locket with the pictures inside. They say their goodbyes. And apparently this is where the gangly alien men also have, like, Thanos skin. Because, I don't know, they snap their fingers and it just kind of blows off like dust. And they're these glowing, you know, what are the glowing grays or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Caleb's getting into the ship, they're like doing the sign language thing where it's like, we'll together forever, whatever the thing is.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
And then the alien guys, like, they like look up and like these wings kind of show up on their back, like they're angels, and they float up with the kids in the spaceship, and then the ship, I guess, flies off to Krypton. Because
I missed the wings thing. Ugh, you just made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and the ship, okay, so it looks like a screensaver, like, at the bottom when they're, like, picking the people up. But then it's, like, I don't know, this, like, crystalline thing that, like, combines and looks like a crystally spear thing. Like, and then, yeah, like you know, the ships you see in the old Superman movies.
Yeah.
And it's like, yep, cool, flying off to Krypton. Roll credits. Wait, no, there's still a good 15 minutes of this movie left, everybody.
What?
You would think that's where the movie ends. Nope.
Meh.
So Nick Cage, watching this whole thing, like, I guess passes out or whatever, wakes up the next morning, mm-hmm. and he's like, well, I guess I'll go back to New York, because there's no way that's a goddamn clusterfuck.
It'll be just fine. I can drive through it just fine. All the roads are clear.
I'm like, how is he driving through this? do we have a winner? Is him driving through New York
during... in the middle of a pandemic?
Yeah, during Armageddon. Yeah, and then okay, he's driving through, and Ben Mendelsohn and his wife are there, and I'm like, wait, they'd be in Boston. Why is he driving through New York? I don't understand what's happening right now.
Yeah, I saw that, and I just went, stupid. No, go on.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Is it because he's driving, and then eventually, I guess after driving through Manhattan, he gets back out to the country where the in-laws' house is. And basically, he shows up, and the whole family's there, and he's like, Caleb's safe, don't worry about it. They hug it out. And then the pastor dad is like, this isn't the end. And I'm like, really? All right.
Only the beginning.
And then there's a giant heat wave that scorches all of the earth. And yeah. Everybody's burning asunder.
Yeah! Wait, what?
We then smash cut to the fields of Valhalla, where there's a couple of kids walking fucking in the Christ. Fakest looking fucking... Like something out of What Dreams May Come. And... They're walking to the one tree of life. There's no one else in this entire place.
Uh-huh.
Now roll credits.
Roll credits.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Knowing.
Yep.
Diana, would you recommend people watch Knowing?
I would. Well, if you want to understand what the hell just happened that we described, yes. If not, don't. Ugh. I do not recommend this movie.
All right, noted. Babe, would you recommend Nicolas Cage in The Kingdom of Crystal Skulls?
Turn it off as soon as they enter the field. Like, skip the whole, like, last 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh, okay. Ooh,
okay. And then it's a fine movie. Like, that's what I was telling Steve. Like, cut out the whole third act. Just stop it, right? He pulls into the field. You see the tall, lanky figures coming at you.
Uh-huh.
End the movie. Leave you like going like, the fuck just happened?
That's a Stephen King ending right there.
Yes.
But because Stephen King's horrible at endings, you gotta have something. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, if you cut it where they're like flying off, it's the whole E.T. ending or whatever. Mm-hmm. Roll credits and it's like, okay, cool. Kind of uplifting note. At least the kids will move on, blah, blah, blah. But then it's like, no, I was promised a rapture, goddammit. I want to see the earth burn. And okay, cool. You can get that if you want. A little CGI day after tomorrow fucking wave swiping across Manhattan. If that's what you want.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that, you know, so as I was watching it, I'm like, I know this movie did not do well, but, you know, Nicolas Cage giving it his all. Rose Byrne doing great. Ben Mendelsohn with what he has. Not bad, you know? It's like it's all there, but this was a fine movie until it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
Ugh.
On that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we have more beer, fun facts, and what we learn from Knowing.
Woo!
When the world is in danger.
Sea levels have been rising steadily, leading to economic collapse.
When the threat is beyond belief.
Zorn is back from the dead.
We never did find his body in San Francisco Bay all those years ago. I told you these microchips will be huge. Now I have to flood the world. Flood the microchip market? No, the world! Like that water movie with the fish man.
There's only one man who can save us.
Bond. James Bond.
I've developed a lot of gadgets over the years, 007, but a time machine simply isn't one of them.
You're not the man you once were, Bond. Time knows no mercy.
Didn't you die a few movies ago?
Obviously, that's completely irrelevant.
But when that one man reaches a certain age, he could probably use some help.
Don't worry. I've arranged a meeting with an old friend of mine. Wait, you're not Anya Amasova?
No. But I am Agent XXX. Now, two cultural icons must work together to bring down evil.
Mr. Bond, Mr. Cage, you see, it's already too late. Project Final Strike is already underway.
Yeah? Well, I live for this
language. Do you want a PG-13 rating or not?
There you go with your old man MPAA regulations.
Old man? Gentlemen?
You're literally 8 months older
guys.
Than I am.
Look it up. I'm over here divulging my evil plan.
But will they be able to even get along? Yeah? Well, you know about extreme sports.
Well, since you asked, I'm an Olympic-level skier and marksman. I've raced speedboats, jet skis, snowmobiles, sports cars with missiles on them, all while people were shooting at me. Let's see, I've motorbiked through bazaars, taught Jason Bourne how to parkour, windsurfed a tsunami, basically invented your precious snowboarding while listening to the Beach Boys, and I still hold the record for the highest bungee jump in human history. So kindly show me some goddamn respect.
Oh yeah? Well, I get a lot of ladies, too.
Child, please. I secured more confirmed strange in a view to a kill than you have your entire franchise. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have this bomb to disarm.
I just don't think I should be alone tonight.
I'll watch her.
You will.
No, I'm watching her.
Well, who do you think?
But I'm more qualified.
Hoover Monkey Dishwasher. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Damn it!
Hello, James.
Mayday. I thought you...
died in an explosion? No, I'm a genetically altered superhuman, like Wolverine or Captain America.
Are those secret agents?
Are you kidding me?
I'm Groot.
See? He gets it!
James Bond and Xander Cage to return in No Hope for a Sequel. Coming this fall on your favorite podcatcher.
Did you ever go on vacation with your family and hope the dance instructor would fall in love with you?
No, but I did think a guy with a giant boombox playing Peter Gabriel outside my window in the middle of the night meant true and undying love.
Listen to our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, where we revisit these movies and it turns out they weren't the best ideas.
What were you thinking?
You can find our podcast, Happily Ever Aftermath, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or your favorite podcatcher.
You can also tweet at us at HEAMCAST, Heamcast.
And we're back.
Oh my god, Steve, those are the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Ah, she said it.
Yeah, they get better every week.
Yeah.
Especially that Happily Ever Aftermath podcast.
Oh yeah.
Fanny, you've heard of that podcast, right?
It's familiar, yeah. I think so.
Nice. Any particular favorite episodes on that one?
Oh, so I am partial to the Romancing the Stone episode.
Mm.
Really like that one.
Love that
oh
movie.
yeah, you can also check out The Thin Man and Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah,
wow, that's an interesting couple of episodes to have for a relationship with movies and our relationships with them.
Yeah, it's all deep and we get into it. I like that.
So deep,
right there on the moonwalk. All right.
Ooh, yeah, speaking of getting into it deep, Steve, loop me up.
All right. Here, I'll start off with something from Salt Flats Brewing Company, their Kilted Harley Scottish Ale.
Woo!
9% alcohol by volume.
Oh, yeah. Is this one of my birthday beers?
It is, yes.
Yeah.
From Janet.
From
right?
Janet at Gypsy Nails. If you're in the Utah Ogden area, get your nails done at Gypsy Nails.
Yeah, this particular beer, our amber meets our old Gaelic style. Floats your skirt on or off your ride. Whoa.
Booyah.
All right. Well, allow me while I pop my bottom, I guess, with my kilted skirt.
Oh, his bottom.
Hairy. All right.
So much furrier than I thought it would be.
All right. And the pour. Oh, wow.
Ooh, that is a beautiful reddish brown ale. It's got a... kind of a light khaki-colored head that is dissipating quickly, I'm going to guess, due to the alcohol volume.
Yeah, probably. Ooh,
this
yeah, it's
smells
got
like caramel and booze. Caramel booze.
Mm. Mm.
Steve's gone in for the sip.
Yeah, nice caramely notes. A little bit of that, like, date or fig kind of flavor to it, too. But yeah, a little drier than I was expecting.
By the way, if anybody is hearing a sound of... it sounds gently, like very softly, like sandpaper on wood. I am being licked to death by Poe the cat.
Oh, Poe. Don't you know?
She just thinks I'm delicious, apparently.
Aww.
Diana, still hitting the hard stuff on your end?
Oh, yeah. It's the only way to stay hydrated officially.
Right? All right. Diana, would you be interested in any fun facts?
Would they happen to be super fun facts because they're fun facts?
Indeed!
Oh, she said it!
Bring it on.
All right. Ladies, Rotten Tomatoes. Wow, this is going to be great. Diana, how do you think the critics felt about knowing?
I'm so sad because I saw it before I came on the show.
Oh, fine.
Oh, so I'm, right. I'm the only one going in blind.
All right, Izzy, what do you think the critics thought?
Oh, God damn it. Critics did not like this movie. Critics don't like aliens. Fact. Critics didn't even like aliens.
They like it. Oh, they like the second one.
Yeah, because they missed the boat on the first one, they realized. Yeah, no, but they don't like aliens at the end of a movie. That's they don't like surprise aliens. No one wants to be surprised.
Nobody likes Contact.
I like Contact.
I waited 3 hours to watch the movie, and the alien ended up being her fucking father.
I actually like that movie, but again, except for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, y'all got to answer.
I'm going to be really generous with this one and say 17.
33% with the critics, but the audience score.
Oh, snap. That's going to be 17.
42.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So, surprisingly middling numbers.
Yeah. Definitely not the worst Nick Cage movie.
This was the film debut of Baby Liam Hemsworth.
Oh, Baby Hemsworth. So apparently, the Miss Hemsworth.
So, apparently it was right after this when he started getting into the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah.
Diana, you mentioned earlier this movie didn't do so well?
I don't think it did, but remember, it blurred with all the rest of the Nicolas Cage movies, so why don't you give us the facts, Steve?
It's so incredibly unmemorable, I feel like I've already forgotten it again.
Right?
But $50 million budget, which, I mean, there's a lot of CGI and stuff, I mean, it makes sense. Uh-huh. Nick Cage was making coin at that time.
Sure.
U.S. gross $80 million, worldwide gross $184 million, and yet no one remembers it.
Oof.
That's how.
They had to buy actual aliens for the Steve, no CGI.
Oh, there you go.
We had to have them imported.
Oh, God, this makes a lot of sense. So, Richard Kelly was originally set to write and direct the project.
Oh.
Anybody know who Richard Kelly is?
Oh, who's he, Steve?
Oh, I know this one. Oh, I know this one.
Diana? Yes, Diana, you?
Oh, the writer and director of Donnie Darko?
Yes.
And also Southland Tales?
Yes.
Okay, that's as far as I'm going to go.
And the one that's the Patreon exclusive for Mystery March.
Wait, oh, no, go ahead.
The Box.
Oh!
Yeah, babe. Imagine the director of The Box doing... this.
No, so boring. Again, you know what though? Both these movies have something in common in that they're both movies with a lot of good potential.
Yeah.
But they're ruined by aliens.
Or saved.
No, they're ruined.
Would it be better if they were angels?
No, see, they would be much better if we didn't know, if we left never knowing.
Okay.
Knowing.
If we didn't know the knowing.
What if
knowing.
They were gods of Egypt?
No, in that one, like, it should be ambiguous. You, like, the best horror movies are ones where you leave not knowing if you're safe or not.
Knowing.
That's why Alien is great.
True.
That's why Jaws is great.
That's why Grizzly is great. No, he got blew up with a rocket. That's right.
But there could be another one.
Oh my God, there's definitely another one. Hopefully coming soon. All right.
Yeah, like, all these things have parents and could be breeding and, yeah, like, you should not know. Don't, like, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it should just be like flash a light and then like boom, cut to credits. Same with this, it should just be like dark figures in the forest and then boom, cut to dark.
So wait, when you said Crystal Skull, you mean like the 20th Century Fox logo flash of lights and then the movie's over? Because that would have saved that movie.
No. All right,
keep out, Shia LaBeouf.
I will grant, up until the jungle swinging scene, that movie's just a regular Indiana Jones scene. I know everybody hates the fridge thing. The fridge thing is just as believable as him jumping out of a helicopter or plane, whatever, with a fucking raft.
Yeah.
True.
No. I was fine with that. It, like, Indiana Jones has a level of like quirkiness to it, which I am perfectly fine with. And then like the swinging like monkeys, I was like, oh no. And then the aliens is like, you know what, this was, if you, again, movie is cut at the last 20 minutes. It's like they wrote themselves into a corner and were like, fuck, what do we do?
Yeah.
Well, aliens.
Well, we introduced that Shia LaBeouf's character fences, so now he has to fence later on.
Yeah, we could have just cut that part out. That's a quick, like, honestly, just some editing and all these movies are suddenly great.
Yep, absolutely. Damn it. Knowing.
Knowing.
Did you know? The perceptual phenomenon of people looking for patterns in randomness, such as number strings, faces in trees, shapes in clouds, is called apathemia.
Ooh.
It's also called my Saturday nights.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So fun fact, I learned in art school, but I mean, really everybody kind of knows, humans are great at finding faces. Like our brains are programmed with like smile detect.
You mean like the face on that lamp over there?
Yeah. So like really any human, if you just stare at something long enough, you'll start finding faces and things.
Is it kind of like the hooks when, you know, you go to the bathroom and you close the door in the public restrooms and then you see the two screws and those are the eyes and then it's an octopus?
Oh my God. Yes, that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah, humans are great at identifying eyes. That's how we stayed alive, is identifying faces. Is that a face? Is that a friendly face? Is that a predatory face?
Yeah, makes sense. And everybody knows, as we discussed on an earlier episode, the hook brings you back. I said the hook brings you back.
Are we talking about the Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman movie Hook?
Never.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
On this here podcast.
Coming a year and a half ago. All right. John Kussler, Nicolas Cage, never once sleeps in his own bed throughout the movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He just kind of randomly passes out wherever he is.
Well, if there's anything I have learned from Hoarders, it's that you don't want to live in the, you don't want to sleep in the bed where your loved one died.
Oh, yep.
Oh.
Wow.
Dark.
Wow, this movie finally got dark. PG-13, no. And an anagram of the young girl who created the list of numbers, Lucinda Embry, the anagram is badly numeric. There you go. Fun fact!
Lucinda Embry. Oh my God, it also spells knowing.
Knowing number 23. Wait.
Oh, no.
Well, ladies, what did we learn from knowing? Diana, do you want to start us off?
So we didn't get specific about it, but there's this scene where Nick Cage runs off into the woods and abandons Rose Byrne and the two children.
But I noticed... my boy. Oh, sorry.
But he grabbed the gun. He gave her the keys. And so that's what I learned. If you're going to run off into the woods with a gun, leave the keys with the rest of the group.
Babe, how about you?
I learned abandon your pets. Aliens will give you new ones.
Oh, there you go. I like it.
Fun fact for the Alien Rapture coming soon. Coming in 2021, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, Diana, if we ran over and said, hey, we have to go meet aliens, but you can't bring Apollo.
Mm, yep.
But the aliens will give you a new dog.
A better dog.
Not possible. My dog is the greatest dog.
It's true. He's the greatest dog ever dogged in the history of dogs.
Oh, she said it.
When is Apollo getting his own Instagram?
Oh. Ooh.
Oh?
Coming next week?
Yes, yeah!
I don't know. Let me check the numbers real quick. It says here 09/11/20. Oh, wait a minute. But where is it going to happen?
September 11th. Never forget.
Exactly.
Apollo's Instagram debut.
What is the latitude and longitude of Instagram?
Hold on. Googling. Wait. I learned this movie predicted not only Nicolas Cage being in Tiger King, but also scratching at the door.
Scratching at the door.
Oh, I also learned bad parenting is promising your kid you will never let them die.
But good parenting is making sure they don't watch the news.
I was reinforced something I already knew, so I guess I relearned it. Steve can predict these movies. As soon as the numbers came up and he was like, I don't know what the other four numbers are. Steve's like, it's latitude and longitude. And then 10 minutes later in the movie, he's like, oh, fuck, it is. And he's like, well, it's like, well, duh, it always is. It always is.
What else could it be? It's not like, yeah, I don't know. It's numbers, guys.
It was great because you said it in such an offhanded way. I don't think even you remembered you said it. You were just like, it's latitude and longitude, whatever. Hand me another beer.
Let me drink these thoughts away so I can enjoy this movie. I also learned sometimes shit just happens.
Oh, geez, you're right.
It's cool, bro. Like, shit, that's the way shit goes down.
The alien rapture.
Steve's about to get some tender po kisses.
No, it's the only way to get them.
The tenderest.
Oh, I also learned that I don't like it when characters have my name.
Oh, yeah. See, I love it when characters are named Steve.
Fun fact, every character named Steve is an asshole.
That is also a fun fact.
Aw, you feel that way about Steve Rogers?
Oh, he tell me moments. Captain America is not an asshole after Civil War.
I mean, I could say he was an asshole after Endgame, but not Civil War.
Yeah, but all the Steves are. You tell me Dr. Stephen Strange isn't an asshole.
It's all he's the confidence.
It's 100% an asshole, but I come from a long line of Steves in my family, so I have the 100% benefit of the doubt of all Steves are great.
Yeah!
You told me they don't have their asshole moments?
Hey, we can be great assholes.
Oh, yeah, no, I married a great Steve asshole.
That's right.
I love my Steve. I also fully acknowledge he's a huge asshole. But he's also the humblest.
I humbly accept that. Well, Diana, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies. I understand you also have a podcast.
I do. Thanks for letting me plug it. My podcast is Happily Ever Aftermath. It is the podcast about relationships in movies and our relationships with them. You can find it on your Apple Podcast, your podcatcher of choice, not Podcorn, but definitely Podcoin.
Yeah. And we got that code for those extra pod coins. Whatever, fuck.
It's Heemcast PD. Heemcast Police Department.
Heem PD.
Yeah. That's like the dumbest inside joke. I don't think anybody's ever going to get except for like three people.
Yeah, sure, sure. But Diana, anything happening over on Happily Ever Aftermath this wonderful month of August that we are now currently in, or perhaps September if you plan that far ahead?
So we actually don't plan that far ahead. I can tell you that we already have completed, let's see here. We just did Jude Law, yeah. And we had back my wonderful husband / producer Ryan and Meg from Indoors Women, and we talked about Enemy at the Gates.
Ooh.
Yeah, so don't think that we just kind of do your Romancing the Stones and Revenge of the Nerds. No, sometimes there are some war movies we're going to be talking about. And we
so
did.
So romantic.
Oh, man. Have you seen Enemy at the Gates?
I don't believe so.
I don't think I have.
So it's Jude Law and Ed Harris, and there's a sniper duel happening in the Battle of Stalingrad. And
I know Ed Harris is going to be the good guy.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. It's like 100%. Oh, did I forget to mention that it was the Russians versus the Nazis? And the second this episode started, I'm just like, so, Plena, I'm supposed to root for Stalin right now? What's happening?
yeah. Problematic.
But I'm not going to lie. I actually really like movies where they make you root for somebody that's just fucking awful.
The lesser of two evils.
Yeah. I mean, because it's hard to pull off.
Yeah.
So if you can pull it off, it's like, oh, wow, you had me, you had me rooting for a Nazi. Good on you. Like, because to me, that's really good storytelling.
Yeah, it could be. So wait, so should I have been rooting for Shia LaBeouf in Crystal Skull?
Nope.
No, you...
No, root for the Nazis. That's exactly what Izzy just said.
You're
rooting for Cate Blanchett or whoever the girl is in that movie.
Back to the Russians.
Yeah. Babe, are you also on social media, though?
I am. You can find me just about everywhere at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. It's Nick August Cage, so I'm having a ton of sales right now over in my Etsy shop. And I have a whole bunch of new products, and they're fabulous!
Woo! And of course, you can find us at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from movies. On Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Babe, hypothetically speaking... let's say a plane just crashed, I don't know, 100 feet away from me, and I seem to have shat myself a little bit. Is there any, I don't know, any sort of place I could go to get a fragrance to kind of mask that odor, or at least,
No, because our promo code doesn't work anymore.
Oh. Well then, fuck Frankie and Murr.
No, you know what? Frankie Murr is still a great product.
They absolutely are.
Go on, support them. Use some aromatherapy. It's wonderful stuff. I very honestly, truly use it just about every day. The spray the bitch away, that is literally a lifesaver.
You know what? Anyway, use the promo code Venus. That's the goddess that rhymes with penis, to save 15%. And if they don't give you the 15% off, yeah, give them a little note, tell them to go fuck themselves.
Tell them, hey, everything I learned from movies sent me, and Izzy says I get a discount.
That's right.
In fact, label it, Nick, Izzy said I could have a discount. I'm going to wait for that text message.
That's
to
right.
Come
make sure you say, hey, Nick Cage, Izzy, with everything I learned from movies, said I get a discount and you give them a cut. Get
actually,
right.
It's Nick Blaze.
Nick Blaze?
B-L-A-I-S-E. It's a family name, apparently.
You mean like Johnny Blaze, a.k.a. the ghostwriter?
Yep. You met Nick. Well, he's Nick Blaze.
Well, there you go. Yeah, say, hey, Nick Blaze. Izzy says, give her goddamn money.
Like, and he only checks his emails at like 4 in the morning. So it's gonna be like 2 in the morning. Like, fucking Izzy, what did you do?
What have you done? That's right. Show small business not to welch on their pets.
Oh my god.
No, honestly, though, we love Frankie and Murr. Check out their products. They're amazing. Just, you know, let them know.
Let them know how much we love them.
Exactly. How much we love their products, and we love their money even more. So yeah, I guess on that note, until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
I'm Diana.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Give us our money.